The Old Testament reading for Thanksgiving Day is written in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. The epistle is written in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me, or revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, the office hymn for today is a very realistic hymn. You read the words, hopefully as you read the words, as you sung the words, they were very realistic in that they revealed that sometimes bad things come our way. I would say a lot of times, most times, bad things come our way. And yet, as the end of the verse 3 says, can we murmur at his rod? While it is easy to thank God for the things you like, things that you consider to be good gifts, it is very difficult to thank him for those things of which you don't like and don't consider to be good, even if God tells you that they are. By the way, all things that God allows to come your way are intended from him to be for your good, whether good or bad in your eyes. So where is the command to give such thanks for all things, even bad? Deuteronomy certainly speaks of how the Lord took care of the Israelites in their wanderings through the desert for 40 years. Have you not been grafted into the Israelite family by faith alone? Are you not wandering around this desert world, a pilgrim, being taken care of in body and soul by the same Lord God, just as he did with them, with you, with heaven as your true home? The epistle text for today obviously exhorts, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Consider God's other words through St. Paul to the Thessalonians, where Paul was inspired to write, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And here also the inspired words to the Ephesians, where Paul writes, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God in all circumstances is one thing, but for all things is quite another. Can you give thanks when you get sick? When a loved one dies? When you've lost your job or your home? When the stock market crashes and you panic? When the weather brings hardships or disasters? When the children don't listen or turn out bad? Can you give thanks to God for these things? In fact, yes, you can, and you should. Now, God's word doesn't say that you have to be happy about the bad things that are allowed to happen to you. In fact, his word doesn't even deny that they are bad. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 8. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. God subjects you or allows futility to play out, but he does it in hope. In hope of what? St. Paul was inspired to write just a few verses later in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, you heard God's word correctly. It proclaimed, yet in all these things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. In all these things. It doesn't say, after these things are removed from you, you are more than conquerors. It is while you are in them. The thing that you are giving thanks for, right in the midst of the trial and suffering, is that God is God. And as it is further proclaimed within Romans 8, you're giving thanks that God promises to work all things together for the good of those who love him. For those who are called according to his purpose. Now that you can and you do according to the new nature given to you by God-created faith. You can do that. Because in Christ, none of those things that are trying to overcome you can overcome you. Because again, you're in the one who overcame it all for you. You are told by God's word that through Christ's resurrection, the sting of death has been removed from you. And that it and anything else cannot separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. Listen to how powerful Christ's victory is. Even death is forced to serve the Christian. Ever since Christ got death over with, by taking death upon himself and by rising from the grave's dark prison, it is through death that the Lord takes you to be with him in paradise. Just as he did the repentant thief on the cross on that Good Friday. Even when a loved one dies in Christ, you are told by God's word that you do not need to grieve as those who have no hope. Instead, you, repentant and believing Christian, you have the promise of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. You will see again your brothers and sisters who are in Christ Jesus when the Lord returns on the last day in his unveiled glory and might. It's not easy giving thanks to God for the things that you consider to be bad, things that hurt you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And yet, God allows those trials and tribulations because he uses suffering to exercise the faith that he has created within you. He uses suffering to bring you back to his promises within his word, to point you back to Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins, to direct you to his holy baptism of you, by which the Holy Spirit continues to work daily, to conform you to the image of Christ, that is, by bringing death to your sinful nature and raising you up according to the new nature created in you, which is the new nature created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you Christians should walk in them. That killing, that death to your sinful nature, hurts. And sometimes, if not most times, it takes bad things in your life to make you aware of your old nature, to put that old nature to death. As God's Holy Scripture continually feeds you with his truth, he teaches you that you can look at the bad things as discipline from your Heavenly Father. As the writer of Hebrews was inspired by God, he penned, "Now, no chastening, no discipline seems to be joyful at the moment, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by the discipline." Now think about this. You give thanks for God for the crucifixion and death of your Lord Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate bad or evil thing to ever have happened on the face of this planet. And yet, through that bad thing, God worked your greatest good: forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. That's why the church calls that day Good Friday. If you can give thanks for that, what can't you give thanks for? As many other Christian figures of God's Holy Scripture reveal, the devil, the world, and sinful flesh will throw many, many things at you, meaning to harm you, but God allows them and means them and uses them for good. In the midst of trial and suffering, it's as if the prayer of thanksgiving would say, "Thank you, God, for driving me closer to you and your promises. Within these sufferings, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who conquered everything for me. Rest in his promises to you in Christ Jesus. And give him thanks always and for everything as he puts his truth upon your lips, so your prayer shall be, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.